The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gal Media station.
Sam Weish was a quarterback, head coach, and broadcaster in the NFL. Last year, he became a heart recipient.
And now I know what a miracle feels like. My new heart gave me a new mission in life, and that is to get others to sign up to be organ donors. There are over 130 million people that have already signed up. Be a part of that. Please sign up to be an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov.
U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
The Blitz.
I hated to see Luno get fired because this franchise wouldn't be where it is without the decisions he's made.
With Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
You know, Hinch, okay, sorry, we'll miss you, but you're a manager. Yeah. That can be replaced.
I do think it's hard to find a Jeff Luno, though.
Yeah, it is.
That's not an easy decision for Crane to make.
From all that perspective, you hate seeing those guys go because they won your World Series, but to me, Luno is the real loss.
Weekdays from 4 to 7 on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and fighting and all kinds of other stuff. Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, well, we'll tell you how to do it later. We're just going to dispense with a lot of the opening stuff.
Yeah, we're not messing around today.
We got tons of guests, and we got a great one right off the top here, so I just want to jump right in.
Yeah, let's go straight to it. UFC welterweight, former legacy welterweight champion of the whole wide world, Houston's own Alex Morano in studio with us. He's on the card, UFC 247. I like UFC 24/7. That's how they should have branded this thing. That was dumb of them to miss out on that. But Alex is on the card, fighting in front of his hometown fans. Alex, how you doing, bud?
Man, good. Happy to be here. I forget. Did we do an interview my very first fight?
Yeah.
Okay, so this has been my 10th time on the show. It's cool to be in the studio.
Oh, that's wild. That's wild, yeah.
Houston's in for a good card.
It's funny because that was always my rule because when I was, before anybody really started to blow up into the UFC from Houston, everyone was like, let me get on your show. And I would tell everybody the same thing. As soon as you're in the UFC, I'll have you on the show. And I think Daniel Pineda was the first one, and then he came on the show. Andrew Craig, who had like listened to the show forever, he was so excited. He was like, I'm on the show now. So that's always been the rule. Once you make it, you're on the show, and you've been good enough to join us every time, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I'm happy to make it to 10. I'll actually get messages from old friends from high school saying they heard me on the ESPN show.
Well, Fred is very famous. That's why that happens.
That happens when you get old. Yeah.
He's very, very well known. You are on the ESPN portion of the card, so there's no excuse for people who are like, oh, I don't want to pay $65 or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Which, by the way, cheapskate, pay your $65. It's worth it. It's a loaded card, particularly if you're a fan of Houston MMA. And I mentioned Alex being a former welterweight legacy champion. And there's a lot of people on this card who came up through Houston or through legacy or in one way or another. I know Shevchenko came up through it at least fought for legacy. I mean, Juan Adams fought in Houston. Is from Houston. Derek, of course, Trevin Giles, Lauren Murphy, Andrea Lee, Miles John, Domingo Pilarte, Jonathan Martinez. And I think Austin Lingo for LFA now.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's just it's wild how much local connection there is on this card. And I think, you know, either you or Derek, I would say, probably had the most success here locally and really got the most of your attention here locally. Is it awesome for you? And this is the second time you'll get to fight for the UFC in Houston. The first one we'll talk about in a minute. But is it exciting for you to fight in front of the hometown fans, or is it just another fight?
Yeah, they had released like a pretty ambiguous quarter one schedule, and I knew the UFC was coming to Houston, but I thought it would be a fight night. And then once I finally got some information, I knew it was a pay-per-view, and I was like, oh man, I got to get on that card. And then I found out Derek Lewis was fighting on it, and it's always so much fun to fight alongside him. And yeah, so I was actually given an opponent pretty early, and man, 2 weeks ago, my opponent pulled out, so I was like, man, I'm not going to fight on the card, or I'm going to get a super random, way harder, or way different matchup, and thankfully, the UFC being the best in the business, they got me a good matchup, and I'm really excited for it, and I'm fighting alongside, you know, two direct teammates from Fortis and a lot of my friends from Houston. It's going to be an awesome night.
Okay, well, we'll talk about your new opponent. You were supposed to fight Diego Lima, who's... I was excited for the fight for that matchup for you because he's a guy who's got a big name, but I don't believe he's that good. It seems to me like a guy who's got more, you know, more of a name than he does an actual skill set. So I thought that would be a nice way for you to get some cheap heat. What do you know about the opponent now, and how is he different from Diego?
Yeah, so, you know, I just said the same thing about Lima, but he's on a 3-fight win streak, you know, made it to the Ultimate Fighter finale show twice. And, you know, I wanted to kind of test myself against a very good, disciplined, like meticulous counter-striker. He just got his black belt in jiu-jitsu. His brother's a freaking monster in Bellator. So that was going to be a good technical test for myself. And we did all of our tape watching and game planning and everything. And then sure enough, 2 weeks out, I hear he's out of the fight. So I got to go hard spar over at Fortis with no opponent. You know, and my mind and emotions were everywhere. It was kind of the first time I lost my cool in training. And my coach was just telling me to, like, you know, just keep my head down and keep working. But thankfully, I got a new opponent in Kalen Williams. You know, he's one of the bigger prospects out of, like, the Detroit, Michigan area. You know, he's 9-1. I think Lima would have been a harder technical fight, like technique for technique, but I do believe this new fight's going to be a much more difficult physical fight. The guy comes in swinging wild. He likes to wrestle. So thankfully, you know, in every fight, I prepare for the worst and hope for the best. I prepare guys to wrestle and try to make it a grindy cage fight, and I hope people stand and bang. So, you know, I have a lot of my good wrestling work in, but I am excited to throw down because I know that's going to happen.
I know you. That's always your thing, and having had you coach and corner me, I know that you are big on very technical striking as a coach, and sometimes when you fight that kind of goes out the window and you tend to turn into a brawler as well. Has being at Fortis changed that, or are you expecting to go in there and just this be a brawl? Because I know that's something you've always wanted, is like just this nasty bloody war.
No, I do believe my brawling days are behind me, unless maybe I'm down two rounds going into the third. But no, I would never do anything, you know, less than as my technical best, because my coach Safer, Fortis, best coach in the world, would kill me in the next fight camp if I did anything stupid. So no, my last fight against Griffin was great. I believe I showed super clean technical kickboxing, almost got that head kick knockout, almost got that spinning back fist knockout. And my fight before that against Zach Otto, just like mercilessly TKO'd him with laser beam straight punches. So no, if this guy tries to brawl wildly, he's going to get clipped by something way more tactical and efficient.
What's been the biggest change for you since going to Fortis? I mean, is it strength of training partner, the coaching? What's been the biggest, you know, jump for you?
Yeah, you really hit both of them. You know, the accountability we have with our decision making and training with our coach is huge, but then having the training partners and like Jeff Neal, Charles Bird, and just all these guys who are successful in the UFC is so awesome. The biggest thing that makes me want to like win this fight in a pretty spectacular fashion is our boy Carlos Diego Fiera just beat Anthony Pettis, former champion. I don't want to say easily, but so smooth and technically, had an awesome pressure game plan, took him down, took his back, choked him out. And if he can pull his weight like that, then I need to make sure to shine for the team as well. And I'm just really excited to have like a real army to fight for and get some wins for.
So last time you fought here, you're winning it. You're actually controlling the fight. I mean, like you'd almost put him out once, and you're just dominating the fight, it seems. And then out of the blue, he catches you. Fight ends. It's like, what was the emotional roller coaster like, especially being in front of your hometown?
You know, that was the first time I lost, and I wasn't like totally disappointed and like just super upset, because that first round in my last fight in Houston was the best round of MMA I've ever had in my life. It was a 10-8 round. I dropped him twice. And you know, you were talking about brawling. That's the last time I brawled, because I had the first round won 10-8, had the second round won. 10-second bell hits. I hit him with it was a 4-3-2. It was an uppercut hook cross combo. And I was like, man, I'm catching him, you know, I'm gonna just plant my feet and start hucking bombs. And I missed a big right hand, and I sailed my head right into an uppercut. You know, no need to take risks like that when you're already ahead, especially when you're beating them with good technique. So, you know, it was a great lesson learned. I feel like I kind of upgraded on that fight with my like decision making and composure, and ever since then I've wanted to get another fight in Houston and you know, make the town and make the crowd happy. So that's what I have going on Saturday.
You mentioned you've got a couple direct teammates fighting on the card with you. One of them's Austin Lingo. Tell us a little bit about him, and then tell us about Miles John, the other one.
Austin Lingo's the man. You know, you look at him, he looks like a pretty good athlete, but you watch him fight, and he packs so much power into his hands for a 45er, and he's young. And one thing I didn't know, I was talking to him a bit last week. He's been fighting like internationally with kickboxing and boxing since he was a teenager. And now that makes sense. His composure is so good, but his knockout power is legit. And the guy's fighting. And Yosef Zalal, he's got like a flying knee finish his last fight. So I think that's going to be a barn burner, a fantastic opener for the fight night or for the card. And I seen Lingo getting a knockout there. And then, man, another really guy in Miles Johns. He's 10-0. He's like a 135-pound version of Yoel Romero. One of the guys who was super successful as a wrestler and, you know, developed striking and has that crazy wrestler power. And he's fighting a guy who does like to brawl and throw down, and Mario Bautista. And that's going to be another fight of the night candidate. They're opening the ESPN card, so I'm fighting right after them.
Okay, so you'll get to watch your teammates fight. You'll fight, and then enjoy the show for the rest of the evening.
Yeah, and talk about an awesome show. So two fights after me, Trevin Giles, he's a HPD officer. He's like the main prelim fight. He's fighting a Brazilian who's coming off the Contender Series. And then, of course, Houston's crown jewel, Derek Lewis, is opening the pay-per-view. And he's fighting Alir Latifi. And I think Latifi asked for this fight. If I'm not mistaken, yeah, he requests this fight, which is insane because he's moving up from 205 and he's already really short. I expect Derek Lewis to get a very brutal knockout in Derek Lewis fashion.
Do you feel like – how close do you feel like to being – I mean, obviously, it's going to be difficult for anybody to get on the level of Derek as far as, like, notoriety and fame – at this point, because he's up there for a guy who doesn't have a championship. He may be the most famous guy in the UFC who's not been a champion. Do you feel like you're close to becoming more of a name that everybody recognizes and everybody associates with Houston?
You know what? In Houston, absolutely. But Derek's done so well. You know, he fought for the title, and I think he's on his 16th or 17th UFC fight, or maybe even more. He's got, you know, over 10 knockouts, and I always tell people I'm the second most successful fighter out of Houston, and I'm proud of that because Derek has achieved so much, especially with his style. He's got such a unique style that would only work for him, and he's so much fun to watch when he fights because it's like true MMA chaos, and he usually comes out with a knockout, and his post-fight interviews are always the best as well. So
You're a real martial artist. You're not like a, I mean, you're a fighter, but you're also like you're a respectful dude. You're a humble guy. If you win this fight, that's four in a row, and they'll, you know, I assume if you do things the right way, they'll come in, they'll interview you. Joe Rogan will be in there with you and ask you, what do you want next? What's the answer, Austin, that you're going to give to Houston on Saturday if he asks that?
You know, I actually wouldn't mind rebooking that Lima fight only because we did so much groundwork. And he is on that win streak, but I never get too attached to any one fight just because every time I expect something, they offer me something else. So, you know, hopefully I'm going to be healthy. And you know, I got a couple of my guys fighting, you know, around the Houston scene after that. But I'm looking to get back in the octagon just as soon as my body lets me.
Okay. But there's nobody up the ladder that you want to take their spot.
No, I do believe long-term, give me a few more wins, get me ranked top 15. That's my goal. That's my coach's goal. I want to fight one of the better strikers in the UFC to test myself. So, like, dream matchup would be against Steve Wonderboy Thompson. And hopefully, maybe, like, late 2021, maybe I got, like, 7-fight win streak, then I'll ask for something like that.
You know, now that, you know, you mentioned Jeff Neal earlier, and you guys are fighting in the same weight class. Now that he's kind of moved up the rankings a little bit, do you guys ever talk about, like, you know, he just fought Mike Perry. Is that a fight that you would look at as maybe, like, because now you've got someone who's given you a blueprint in-house that you can talk to about something like that? Is that appealing to you to have a guy, you know, kind of you can ride in his wake a little bit as far as opponents go, and you'll know something about these guys before you get to them?
Yeah, I would love the Mike Perry fight down the road. I watched so much tape on Mike Perry and literally did like a punch and kick counter just so I could emulate his style as well as I could for Jeff. So I'm very, very, like, intimately aware of how he fights and would love that fight. And man, Jeff is awesome. He'll surely be champion. And I kind of hope we have the relationship of like of Cain Velasquez and Daniel Cormier, whereas, you know, Jeff will be the champion and I will be just kind of riding in the top 10 weight, just beating dudes up. And my goal in the UFC is not belts. It's to get knockouts no one's seen before and just get highlight reel finishes. So that's what I'm working on. That's my goal.
And we assume that you're predicting knockout on Saturday?
Always. Always going for the knockout. Anything else is not as cool.
I've always told you, I think that a submission can be as cool as a knockout. I mean, like if you like starch somebody and their arms are stuck up in the air, that's hard to beat.
Of course.
But like a TKO where the referee decides the fight's over, a guy can always be like, yeah, you know what? That was a bad stoppage. When someone taps, that's them giving up and saying, you know what? You beat me up. You're better than I am.
Yeah, that's true. But considering the risk that, you know, fighters take when they step into the cage, I understand that, you know, it could happen to me as well. And I think making guys tap out lets them off easy. I'm there to do some damage and make guys get cut open and bleed and ideally knock them out. And just in my mind, especially as a fan, I was a fan before I was a fighter. I always liked when guys would, you know, kind of use good sharp striking technique to score awesome knockouts. So I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't do it. So,
all right, man. That's Alex Morano. I'm telling you guys, this guy is the real deal. He is one of the future stars in the UFC. You could see him at Toyota Center this weekend. Or if you're a cheapskate, you can watch him on ESPN. And make sure you get the pay-per-view afterwards as well. Appreciate it, man. Enjoy this week. I know it's gonna be hectic, but it'll be fun for you. And enjoy the fruits of the labor on Saturday, my man.
Awesome, of course. And as usual, with the win, I'll take AJ out at some barbecue.
Awesome. All right, guys. We'll be right back. Chris Hart gonna join us on the other side and talk some booze.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I got to tell you about Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows. Guys, start the new year great with Allstate. And this Houston weather, it's unpredictable. It'll be hot one day. It'll be cold the next. And if you're heating or cooling your home, the professionals at Allstate Siding and Windows can help you out by checking your older windows for drafts. Make sure you're not letting your money float out the window. Call Allstate Siding and Windows today for your free window inspection. Plus, 30% off all windows and $2,500 for all full siding jobs. Family owned and operated for over 45 years. This is the kind of company that you want to do business with. It's military discounts, senior discounts, first responder discounts. They've been around. They're going to be around. And that's why you know you can trust them. Remember, you want the best rate. Call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or check them out online, allstatesidingandwindows.com.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, and the hits keep on coming. Christopher Hart joins us, host of the Whiskey Neat podcast, doing the Houston Whiskey Social this weekend, and he brought us whiskey, of course.
What's going on, man? Of course he did.
Thanks for having me on again, guys.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, yeah, and there's absolutely nothing else to do in Houston this weekend.
Yeah, not a big weekend at all. And I'm guessing you guys had your thing planned first.
Way first. A good friend of mine, Dana White, went ahead and tried to undercut me a little bit.
And Vince McMahon.
Yeah, whoever that is. And yeah, so we actually had our date set before, and quite a few people all of a sudden couldn't make it to the event this weekend. But we're nearly sold out, and things are still going well. So I'm excited to be back. I hate to miss you this year.
Well, let me tell you, I hate to miss it, too. I was telling Steven from Culture Map, I was like, dude, if you're on the fence about going, you need to go.
Yeah.
This is it is an amazing event. And I'll tell you what the craziest thing to me was. I was like, okay, I'm going. I was there for, what, 3 hours, something like that last year. I ended up Ubering home.
Good, good. Highly support it.
I absolutely could have driven, though, I felt. Like, I didn't get wrecked. It was it's so different than beer crowds where you get a big pour of beer and then you drink your big pour and then you're on to the next pour. And I mean, you're drinking these, you know, even at a tasting, sometimes you're drinking 4 ounce pours, 6 ounce pours of beer.
Those add up quick. Yeah,
they really do. And you would think with whiskey, I mean, you're taking a taste that's literally like a taste. Some people are tasting and then spitting, like not even swallowing the booze.
Yeah,
and
God bless those people. Yeah, we've got over 400. This year, I think we're going to hit close to 450 different spirits. Wow. And we're hitting 1,500 people. It's going to be, you know, crazy. And I saw you last year. I was happy to see you.
Oh, it was great.
And, you know, Brandon made it out as well. Still haven't gotten Fred there. And, yeah, it was a great time.
Hell with
Freddy. And, I'm 50-50, but, yeah, I also really want to watch the fights, too. So,
of course. Yeah. No, I totally get it. I mean, you've got, I mean, the pound for pound and then some, I mean, John Bone Jones is here this weekend. I mean, I don't blame you.
And Alex, who's been a friend of the show for a long time, yeah. and Juan Adams, who was on yesterday, and Derek. It's just like all these guys that that certainly AJ's been covering for years that have all been coming on the show for a long time. It's just you really want to see them all.
Of course. No, I don't blame you at all. I'll be tied up, but I, you know, every year we try to bring in stuff that there are events that happen nationwide, Whiskeys of the World, a bunch of other different whiskey festivals. We try to bring in stuff that you just aren't going to see at a bar. You're not going to see it anywhere else. I mean, you might have a friend that's got quite a bit of money and a decent private collection, but we try to feature those bottles. I mean, I remember pulling several people aside last year and pouring bourbon from pre-World War II.
I got some of that.
Yeah, you got some of that 1930 Shenley's.
Yeah,
Shenley rye was one of the.
It looked like it was from like a sailor or a pirate had it in his treasure box or something. I mean, it's unreal.
Yeah, so we do try to feature stuff that you simply aren't going to find anywhere else. And then, of course, you've got the classics. Glenfiddich and Heaven Hill will be there. In fact, you both are enjoying some Elijah Craig 18 as we speak.
Yes, we are.
I'm sipping the 21 Glenfiddich. We're going to have a little bit of everything there, including, I think, about a half dozen 50-year-old Armagnacs.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
Just ridiculous bottles. You're not going to find them anywhere else.
And, I mean, how many different, you know, distillers are out there? How many different booths are set up?
So we are expecting, I think, just under 80 different booths.
Wow.
But the vendors themselves will often have more than one brand. And, of course, you know, you've got brands like Barrel. Barrel Craft Spirits is bringing, I think, 22 different bottles.
Yeah.
Types of, you know, ages, blends, that sort of thing.
Well, it's amazing because there's, you know, you think of it as a hoity-toity whiskey event. And then, like, Jack Daniels will have a booth there, but it's not like...
Oh, one hell of a booth, too.
It's not the same Jack you get out of the well. I mean, this is like... I mean, they've got some high-end stuff there that, people may not know it even exists.
Yeah, we've tried real hard to kind of appeal to both the hoity-toity connoisseurs,
yeah,
as well as the new folks who are just learning. Jack Daniels and Brown-Forman really go above and beyond every year with just an incredible setup. In fact, this year, Monkey Shoulder is driving out an 18-wheeler that's got a bar. What do you call it? A shaker?
Uh-huh.
You know, they've got an 18-wheeler cocktail truck that's coming this year. So,
oh wow!
We've got a blacksmith that's coming to make cigar spikes from Heaven's Door.
Very cool.
It's just every year they just kind of blow us away.
Where are we having the event this year?
Citadel in Houston's the third year in a row. You can find out information about the event at HoustonWhiskeySocial.com or Eventbrite, and of course, always on Facebook.
So, Give people some tips. What are you dressing like?
Right. So you want to come a little bit dressed up, like you're going on a date. It doesn't have to be a suit, but I'm going to be wearing a pair of nice boots, nice jeans, nice maybe a blazer,
yeah,
that sort of thing.
It's not a black tie event.
Absolutely not.
Jeans and a button up are good.
Sure.
You know, a
Just
jacket
don't show
is
up
nice.
In a jersey. You're good to go. We've also got, I would encourage other tips, drink lots of water and eat before the event. We do feed and hydrate you as well during the event, but come prepared.
I tell everybody eat before.
During because, and after.
But especially before. But the longest line there is for food. Like if you can get through the booze lines very quickly, but if you don't want to spend time in a long line, get yourself fed beforehand, and you know, if the line's short and you can grab some food, by all means do it. But I know I spent a lot of time in the food line last year, and next time I'm going, I'm loading up before I get there on food.
Sure, sure. We actually also brought out a Curbside Eats, the food truck that's going to be outside the Cigar Lounge, and we split up the food lines a little bit more this year. So hopefully going to mitigate that, but the idea is just going to be one massive event. It's the largest event in the state. That's just, you know, as many spirits as you can safely try.
Awesome, man. Well, it's a great event. Tell people again where they can go to get tickets.
HoustonWhiskeySocial.com. You can also find details about the event on Eventbrite, as well as Facebook at Houston Whiskey Social.
And Fred, do we have tickets to give away?
We do have tickets to give away, and I may just keep them for myself because I think I've figured out I'll just watch the fights on my phone.
Yeah. You can always do that.
Yeah, because I've got ESPN Plus on my phone.
Well, there you go.
So there we are.
You'll just be that guy walking around with whiskey and your phone in your hand. No big deal.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool. And you know what's going to happen? There'll be 10 people standing over my shoulder watching it.
They probably will.
But that's all right. We'll do that. The 5th Annual Houston Whiskey Social is coming to the Citadel on Kirby Saturday. And we want to send you and a guest to enjoy all the whiskey tasting fun. At 4:32, we'll take caller 5 to 713-780-3776. You'll win a pair of tickets to enjoy whiskey tasting from the largest range of whiskeys in the world, plus other fine spirits, plus a cigar lounge.
Yeah, it's a
cigar lounge. It says long. And great food to match. VIP and GA tickets are still available at eventbrite.com. So, I'm sold now.
All right.
It's great seeing you guys again. It's been too long. Got to have you back on the show soon.
Oh, definitely.
Would love to tear into my emotions. And
thank you for the booze, man. Yeah, great
appreciate
stuff.
It.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, man.
Definitely.
Good to see you, my man.
Good to see you guys.
All right. Guys, if you're paying too much interest on your credit cards every month, then how about consolidate those into just one payment at a lower fixed rate and start saving money? It's easy with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Rates are as low as 5.95% APR with autopay. It's much lower than the national average interest rate on credit cards, which is over 20% and sometimes a lot higher. You can get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000 with absolutely no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. You can do it on your phone. It's easy. LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Right now, just for the Blitzers, apply to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. That's lightstream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Fred for more information.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And we're just going to keep the guests going. It's a pretty guest-heavy show. But yet another fighter on Saturday night's card.
Yeah, on the main card this time, Alex is going to be on the ESPN portion. You want to see Mirsad fight, you got to pay. It's going to cost you. You either need to be at Toyota Center. Are there still tickets available? Okay. You can still get a couple tickets there. Or you can throw it down on ESPN Plus. But he will be on the main card. Mirsad Bektic joins us on the program. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Good to see you. Thanks for coming out.
Pleasure. It's my pleasure.
It's funny. I was talking to Alex Morano about the last time he fought in Houston for the UFC. He fought Nico Price.
Yeah, Nico's a tough guy.
And he was dominating Nico. Mm-hmm. Like, he almost finished him twice.
Wow.
I mean, he was knocking him around the cage, and then he got caught. And
Nico's one of those Frankenstein type of guys.
So, and I started thinking about that, and then I remembered the first time you lost.
Yeah.
It was another one of those instances, and you had kind of made your name in the UFC. You had beaten some pretty tough guys.
Yeah.
And I think Darren Elkins, they consider him like a true gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Darren Elkins probably never going to fight for a title.
Yeah.
But they're like, if you're going to be a real contender, you're going to have to fight this guy. You're beating the hell out of Darren Elkins for two rounds. I mean, you're
three.
Yeah, basically three. I mean, you're smacking this dude around, and then out of nowhere, he finishes the fight. Is that, and that's your first loss of your career. Yeah. How difficult is that to deal with, knowing, I mean, you feel like you're better than this guy, and this one moment changed everything, changes the whole course of your career, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, just to reiterate what you said, my first loss of my career, versus pretty much like you said, a gatekeeper, a fight that's going to propel me to the title. Yeah, man, it was heartbreaking. It's like I try to live the perfect lifestyle, that perfect athletic lifestyle, and I felt like I did everything right, from everything, eating right, sleeping, no distractions. I felt like I did everything right. And then even going to the fight week, got a suite, no talk, like not really socializing with people, just staying really focused. And then I go in there and probably one coffee too much. if you pretty much start to fight, it's, 0 to 100 right away.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that was my biggest downfall. I pretty much ran myself into the ground. From start to finish, I dominated every position, just every aspect of the fight up until the last minute and a half, where I think I just exhausted myself. It wasn't like anything conscious, but I think I just made a mistake where I rested on the cage, and my fatigue kicked in, and he capitalized, and yeah.
Well, it sounds like you learned from it, at least.
Definitely. I moved to Montreal to train with TriStar, Coach Farhad Zahabi, and George St. Pierre. So I ended up there in 2017, thanks to my training coordinator and manager, Mike Dolce, hooked us up and got us out there.
Talk about training up there and training with George. I mean, this is a guy who's in the conversation for, I mean, he's on the Mount Rushmore of MMA fighters, yeah. In my opinion. He's one of the best who's ever done it. And a guy who was able to leave the game on top. When you talk to a guy like him, what do you guys talk about as far as, I mean, obviously you're trying to soak in fight knowledge, but what's he tell you about what it takes to get to the top in this sport?
Yeah, I was very surprised actually when I was talking to George. I met him in New York briefly before that, and just trying to pick his brain, like knowledge-wise, like, hey, what are you doing? I want to, somebody I admired, that somebody my style, I tried to mimic my style to his. He's very well-rounded everywhere. So when I first met, it's like, what are you doing? And I was very surprised to see his life is not like that controlled, right? He's chilling, going to clubs, seeing maybe more than one woman, I don't know. But, just very like, he's like, and I was like, man, don't you get distracted? And he's like, I remember asking that in the taxi ride because we took a taxi together. And he's like, no, man, I need the distraction. So that's one of the things I probably, besides being a very respectable, great human being, just be more relaxed, be more go with the flow, see how your body feels, don't be so serious, have fun, start on your back. So that's probably one of the biggest things I picked up from him. And I think this camp has really taken a lot from that statement. Just be relaxed. I need those kinds of distractions, because otherwise I'm just watching film all the time, just stressing myself out. It's been great.
Talk about your opponent. And this is a guy who's
I thought it was about me.
mostly what I want to know is how do you feel he matches up with you? Where do you see yourself having some edges, and how do you think you can exploit them?
I feel I have an edge everywhere. I mean, all my opponents, I feel I have an edge over them. I'm great everywhere. If you look at my fights, if you look at my resume and the fights itself, they're all dominant, except, like that loss to Darren, but they're all dominant. And I think that's just how I approach life in general. Whatever I do, I want to be the best at it, and I am the best at it. And I think I'm going to exploit everything. I'm just going to seize the moment and do my thing. Just do what Mursad does and, just hit repeat. Hit the repeat button and go to work.
What do you think of the state of the 45-pound division today? Where, like, Do you think that it's a deep division? Because obviously the we've got some rotating at the top now for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
So is it a time where it seems kind of open to you, to a guy like you?
Definitely the 145 pound division is stacked. I mean, like, think about like an easy fight. There really is no easy fights. So that's why it's kind of hard to break away from like every fight's a title fight mentality, because everybody's so good. And, you know, when you win a fight, it really catapults you up. So I'm very excited that Alexander is at the top now. He called me out briefly in 2018 after my win over Ricardo Lamas. I just never answered him back. I was like, damn, that guy's good, and nobody knows him. You know, that guy's good, and nobody knows him, so I'm not going to say anything. But now he's at the top, man. He did his thing. He beat the, you know, top guys, and, you know, props to him. And so I think I match up very well to him stylistically. I'm very young. I'm younger than he is. And, yeah, so I'm very excited to, you know, see this fight through this weekend. And then just get to the drawing board and get to work and keep it rolling.
Well, I'm looking at the top 15 right now.
Yeah.
And a guy that just got a win over you, Josh Emmett, is in the top 10 now.
Yes.
So, I mean, it could have easily been swapped the other way around. And that's another fight where, you know, sometimes you just catch a punch. And I'm sure that's the one you'd love to get back. Is there a name that you feel like is on that top 15 list that you'll say after you get this win on Saturday?
Definitely. So, as you said, I just admit that loss. A lot went into that fight that I wasn't prepared for. I just, you know, kind of felt forced to do that fight. But anyways, that's just personal stuff. Yeah, I wasn't surprised by that. And I'm just looking forward to this fight. And I think after this one, they have another fight in April between Jeremy Stephens and Qatar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'd like the winner of that fight.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about a guy in that division that no one wants to fight. And as a grappler, I love this guy, Ryan Hall.
Oh, he's crazy.
No one wants to fight Ryan Hall because, I mean, the guy looks like...
That's so funny.
He looks like a kid who just got off a school bus.
Yeah.
And he's beating everybody. And it seems like one of those fights where there's not a lot of upside to beating him, but there's a whole lot of downside to get in a cage with a dude like that who's like just a wizard at one particular thing. Like, have you looked at him at all? And is it just like like everybody else, I just kind of want to avoid that guy and fight someone around him?
Not really. I mean, there's not nobody in particular that I want to avoid at all, right? It's more like in the fact that doesn't make sense. Like, when Alexander called me out, like, well, at that time, it didn't really make sense.
Right.
You know, I was about to fight a Renato Moicano for probably a title contention fight before I got injured. And that's why it was so devastating for me. But yeah, man, Ryan Hall, he's great, and he's actually, you know, a teammate because he trains at TriStar.
That's right.
So, yeah, we've grappled a couple of times. We had we fought together on the same card last time, very cordial with each other. We sparred a couple of times, I think, one of my fights. So nobody I avoid, not at all. He's great at what he does, right? And it's so funny, this camp, actually last week, getting ready, like just like some touch-ups on my game, I was just like dropping to my back, doing like a roll, trying to do the Ryan Hall. And I was like, I'm just having fun, you know, just trying to have fun with what I'm doing, right? So I was doing those techniques, and I was like, man, if I ever fought Ryan Hall, I would do exactly what he does.
Yeah.
Practice rolling around and just doing funny stuff.
I mean, it really is unique.
It's crazy, right?
He's one of the only, he's just different than anybody else. Like, he presents something different than, I don't think you can train for it unless you're training with him.
I agree, but to disagree, I think you just roll around, do funny things, and get people that do the same thing, and you get ready that way, right?
Well,
you get unpredictable guys, and yeah.
Who's the guy on the card Saturday? I mean, obviously you're focused on your fight,
right?
But is there another fighter on the card that you're excited to see in person?
I'm excited to see John Jones, you know? In person, I like to see my friend Anthony Smith is coming down.
Okay,
he's a former title challenger. He'll be here. So
I was reading that dude almost cut his own finger off.
Yeah, I was like
voluntarily because it wouldn't heal, so he's just like cut it off. The dudes in this game are so crazy. Yeah, you guys are out of control.
I'm like, man, I can't hang out with anybody else.
Yeah.
I'm crazy enough. There's only room for one crazy guy.
You hang
out with other guys, it's like, nah, yeah, definitely crazy.
Well, yeah, I that's what I tell everybody. You've got a chance. I think it's a great card. You know, I think that top to bottom, it's a great card. It's great if you're into local stuff because there's so many local Houston guys. Derek is one of the biggest stars in the game.
Great fight. Derek Lewis and Latif.
That's
going to be a great fight.
To me, this is an opportunity to see John Jones, who is maybe the greatest who's ever done this game.
Definitely.
And if you get a chance to see somebody like that in person, you take it. So make sure you get out there to Toyota Center, see the fights. Mersad Bektic has been our guest. What do you got?
Or real quick, meet John Jones. I think he's doing something with Little Woodrow's.
Yeah.
He's doing a meet and greet, so make sure you guys go out there, the after party. And I'm actually going out to Little Woodrow's tonight in Little Heights. Is that what it's called?
The Heights.
Little Woodrow's at the Heights at 6:30 to 8:30. So
Taking pictures, signing autographs?
Taking pictures, signing autographs. Some t-shirts will be for sale. Just kicking it. Have some family coming and having fun. And then we'll be there Saturday night after the party, too.
Awesome, man. Well, I'm excited to see you fight.
Thank you.
You were high on my list of guys that I wanted to bring in here and talk to. I think you're a really interesting dude.
I appreciate it.
And I'm again, I think it's going to be one of the better fights on the card.
It will. I guarantee it.
So make a show of it, my man.
I will. I'm a flow like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Something like that.
Something better.
All right. That's Mersad Bektic. We'll be right back.
I don't want to change because I'm good where I'm at. Mob ties, so I'm always good where I'm at.
Attention.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And guess what? We have a segment without a guest for the first time.
What are we going to do?
I don't know. Let's interview Aaron.
Okay.
Aaron, which great event are you going to attend Saturday night?
Well, I'm already scheduled to attend the XFL game, and I'm hoping to find a way into the UFC event. So,
yeah, right. I think you can double up there, right?
I think you can.
Yeah,
the whiskey in the UFC is tough.
Yeah,
unless you're willing to watch it on, like, I don't think you can be at both.
Yeah, I mean, I think that might be my plan: go to the whiskey social and watch the fights on my phone, and then record them at home so I can go watch them on a big screen later. But I don't know. I really want to go to the fights too. I'm really torn here because, especially, you know, we've had so many guys in this week and we've talked to so many people and we're having Dana White tomorrow. It's just, if you can't get fired up about this card, then
it's
you're
great.
Not human.
Yeah, it's a great card. And we'll have one more fighter interview this week. It'll be at 6:15 today. We'll have John Jones. Maybe you've heard of him. But John Jones will be on the program with us, which I'm pretty excited and honestly a little nervous about.
Really?
I mean, not that I'm like starstruck or anything, but it's rare that that local media gets an opportunity to interview a dude like that. And I don't want to be boring. Like, I don't want to ask him the same lame old questions everybody else asks him.
Well,
so
I actually did get to interview him that trip that you didn't make, mm-hmm. and when Pendergast was still here, and he and I did it, and that was right after the Aaron Hernandez stuff.
Okay.
And his brother, of course, had played for the Patriots.
Yeah.
And we'd asked him if he'd ever met Aaron Hernandez, and he told all these stories about what a dickweed the guy was.
That's wild.
It was interesting as hell. And then he relaxed and really opened up. So you know, it was as good an MMA interview as we could do without you being there, but it was more about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because he does have a personality that you can get out. I mean, it's really interesting.
That dude's been through, he's been through a roller coaster. So
yeah.
I think it's really interesting to me to talk to him. So I'll try and do well with it and you know.
You'll do fine.
Family proud.
You'll do fine. I have faith in you. You've done great with all of them so far.
We haven't gotten to get into the Rockets, which we will as I look at the clock and, you know, we definitely don't have time.
No, we'll get to it at 5 o'clock. We're wide open
baseball,
for the 5 o'clock
baseball
hour.
Stuff to get into as well.
Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
Angels making some moves to catch your Astros.
Yeah, I'm curious how you think that's going to work out for them. If you think they're on the right track, and I don't know. I'll be honest. The more moves the Dodgers make, I mean
that they're formidable already. But and I know that the whole price throw in thing was for them to take on salary. But if you get good David Price,
well, that's the other thing. David Price might be a reliever for that team.
Yeah,
and if he is, then.
That doesn't suck.
If he has one of his good years, which he's had good ones and bad ones, if he has a good year, and that's like your pitching depth, oh, boy.
Well, and the big advantage to being in L.A., it's not like Boston or New York. I mean, it's a big market, but it's not a market where, you know, people are hanging on every single thing
right.
You do. The radio guy is not ripping into you like Eckersley was doing. So it might be a better fit for him. It's just... We'll get to all that. There's a lot of fun stuff to get to. I have the burner laptop today.
Oh, it's in.
The Mac has gone to the shop.
Okay.
Which I have to admit, it felt a little bit like the first time I took the puppy to be kenneled for a week when I was going to be out of town. I already miss it, but this so far so good. This has checked all the boxes. All it has to do is last me a week.
I think you can. Well, you've had computers last you less than that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And as long as I'm not betting on it and punching the screen, it should be fine.
Yeah, it should be okay.
Yeah.
I got to tell you guys about Carbach. That's right. The Rodeo Clown Roundup coming up, I guess, a week from Sunday. Sunday, February 16th, 1 o'clock at the brewery. Rodeo season's going to be here soon. Carbach's kicking things off with their third annual Rodeo Clown Roundup. The lineup, Blackberry Smoke, Corey Morrow, Band of Heathens, Clint Daniels. Grab your tickets today at CarbachBrewing.com. And before the show, get yourself a good run out at the Rodeo Clown Roundup 5K, 10K. 8 o'clock at the brewery. Dress in your best Western gear or Rodeo Clown outfit. Participants must be 21 years or older and receive a participation medal, commemorative koozie, and two tokens for beer at the finish. And a bonus is, if you participate in the race, you have an option to purchase a discounted ticket at the time of registration. How about that? Register today at CarbachBrewing.com. Follow Carbach on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for everything going on at the brewery, everything going on at the restaurant, everything going on with the concert series and all the events that they have. They've got a charity golf tournament coming up this week or next week. And then pick up your favorite Carbach beer today or just ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach. It's your-